Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and someone give me a call when metalheads start playing with Beyblades in the mosh pit. And with me, I have...
Somebody tell Ronnie Radke to take the clown costume off. Halloween's over. Oh wait, that's how he always looks. Never mind.
And...
Well, here it is, Attack on Titan, the final season, part 2 of part 3. The last time we swear, we missed it, it's the last of the time. We swear.
I'll deal with that in due time.
And you know, what fucker has even more as one of Titan. It'd be just him doing his fantastic character just on there.
Man, you could tell people are just desperate for this to be over already, because they're already spreading fake rumors about Adoro Hidoro Season 2. Look, I wanted to, but y'all weebs can't just go around believing anyone who pays for a blue checkmark on Twitter. Have we literally not spent the entire last fucking year telling you why that's a bad idea? Jesus Christ, he's really owned this website for a fucking year now, hasn't he? God damn it.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Fuck it. Year.
Ah, what a year it has been. And I mean that with in the most derogatory manner possible. Anyway.
You're worth this much, and now you're worth just, well...
Less than half.
Less than half. I mean, you're
burning over 28 million billion dollars just to own your trans child. Must be nice to have that much money to just burn...
This absolute clown shoe masquerading as a human being. Anyway, here we are, episode 329. So, how's everyone's week been going?
It has been a week. One of the weeks. Not much for me to say I went out and did, because I didn't really do much. I don't know what it is, but... I kind of get like a seasonal depression around Halloween now. I don't know, maybe it's the realization that it's just another day on the calendar that it just gets me down. Like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to stay inside and let all the children out there frolic on with their families away from me. Like, I don't want to take any part of it. I gave that up long ago. I'm good. I'm done. Just leave me alone, you damn cretins. I have no candy to give you. Because I kind of ate it already, but that's neither here nor there. And, yeah, just one of those weeks. Something good happened this week, though, but we'll get to that much, much later.
Yes. Yes, we will, I assume. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Yeah, not much has happened. I think I'm kind of feeling that seasonal depression too. Maybe it's either that or some with personal stuff with folks. Well, you know, not feeling well or stuff that I'm not going to mention on here. But I don't know. It's been around, and I would say something. I would say something about trick or treating. But then again, nobody comes in with a trick or treat. They either just. I mean, we've been. Season house anyway. Just wait till I don't candy till the next day. They're like, can't even, you know, candy's half down and all that shit.
Yeah, that's some good advice. Go to every drugstore the day after Halloween. They're gonna be, they gotta get rid of that excess stock somehow. So, yeah.
Discount yeah. Chocolate day, one of the finest days on the calendar.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, pretty much it for me.
Cool, cool. And as for me, well, not really a whole lot. I'm not sure I'm in the, seasonal depression mood. Like, I mean, usually around Halloween, I just bury myself in a lot of horror media, games, comics, movies mainly. That's just kind of a fun thing. Like, I think I'm in the Patton Oswalt mindset, where for me it's just an excuse to shut in and watch movies. Except for the part where I don't think I can do what he does and scare the shit out of kids who dress as Remy from Ratatouille. Seriously, I don't know how to explain it, but like, I remember, because in that stand-up bit of his from like fucking years ago, he talks about like having to interview like actual kids on stuff like like when Disney Channel had that Movie Surfers program, and I remember watching that as a kid, and it was so fucking hilarious to hear what it sounded like from the other perspective many years later. Just, man, the way perspectives change with time.
Yeah. I also remember the way Dunder one of the people in there, at least the one Missy Elliott, the one girl who was in the Missy Elliott videos, also was that one girl that seems like perfect, oh, and they always beat those at Phineas, but he never notices. Yeah, that girl. Alison Stone, that's her name. Oh, yeah, that's her name.
Ah. Yeah, I was trying to remember. But I don't really have much to add here, significantly speaking. So we're just going to go ahead and move on to the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars, all that business. Now, going to throw it over to Mark to get things started, since it involves one of our favorite recurring names in these parts of the woods, the Alchemist.
Yes, it's the time again, ladies and gentlemen. It is Alchemist's own clock. And apparently, I think his birthday passed, which I don't know what it is, but hey, happy belated birthday. Happy belated. So to no one's surprise, he released a lot of stuff this year, almost every year. He's got stuff. He had an EP out called Flying High way back in. I want to say June, and now it's a sequel, Flying High 2, and just a single called Navigus Freestyle, and you feature, and there's no feature. He's rapping.
Oh?
Once again, Alchemist is living the bar at the time. I know this is probably because, like, Alchemist has been rapping. He does case and raps, and he just has got a good flow. He's quite reminiscent of Rock Marciano, sort of. I'm gonna check out the Adam's blues when I step out. One muscle, I pull a piece out of your neck out, get a kick, and only serve it when it's fresh out. Off the rack, bomb Christie with 100 stack, cutting out, open my lumberjack, I get a thought, then I move on to it, like, it's really like, a freestyle, which, you know, or it's called Nothing Here's Freestyle, or like, nothing is, like, they say nothing, I can style, but nothing is free, it's on the arm, but nothing's free, like, they're like that, like, it's a really cool freestyle, with a nice beat loop, we got to get this real, like, get this sort of jazzy loop to it, like, not, kind of low key jazzy, something like that. But it's interesting to hear him. Isn't he rap again, at least for today. But yeah, pretty good.
Always a treat to hear him around here. So yeah, November 3rd. Now moving on to the next track here. Looks like coming next year, we have new material from singer-songwriter Chelsea Wolfe on the horizon. Last time we heard from her, well, depending on how you count it, there was her last solo album, Birth of Violence, in 2019. And then somewhere in between in 2021, if I remember correctly, was the album Blood Moon 1, a collaboration with metalcore titans Converge. But now it looks like she's got a brand new album due out February 9th. Titled She Reaches Out to She. Very interesting choice of title. If I remember from reading the article correctly, it was kind of like she described it as sort of like a musical conversation between like past, present, and future. I guess she must have been hanging out with Daniel Lopatin or something. But apparently there was already a single out before. I guess I missed it, but now we have single number two here called Whispers in the Echo Chamber. And as far as, like, the whole past, present, future thing, compared to what I'm normally used to hearing from her, which is kind of, like, gothic, folk, kind of haunting, with some metal influence in there. Well, okay, the metal is technically here, but it's also a lot more industrial, which kind of sounds like it's pulling from albums of hers, like Pain is Beauty and Abyss. It's a very cold, eerie synthesizer that drones and hums very low in the mix, a kind of sparse kick rhythm at first, her vocals having, well, swapping between these ominous whispers and very, like, haunting gothic cleans. And, of course, as the song goes on, the instrumentation swells and swells whenever it has to kind of give a varied momentum. Especially with some of, like, those metal guitars in there. Maybe some of that Converge collab energy still hanging around. But I usually dig what I hear from Chelsea Wolfe, so I'll have a, you know, finger on this when February rolls around.
Dark, ambient, industrial whispers certainly is a vibe, though it's not one I'm totally into. It's just not my thing, you know? Nothing against it, it's just not for me. Though I did kind of get confused when I was looking in the document, and I thought this was going to be something from Chelsea Graham, not Chelsea Wolfe. But hey, I've had a busy week, so you know, blame my brain for that.
There are many Chelseas out in the world, it seems. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. So we're about a couple weeks away from the new Aesop Rock album, Integrated Tech Solutions, a concept album that kind of seems to be like a satirical taking of the piss out of our modern technology fueled landscape. We had the first single, Mindful Solutionism, that really sold us on the concept. Then we had the second single, which was a song all about rivers and how great rivers are. And now we have the third single here, Infinity Fill Goose Down, which, as you can tell by that specific combination of words, I have no fucking clue what the main idea is supposed to be here lyrically. The most I can gather is that there's a lot of references to, like, animals and such, like, just to kind of grab from, like, the beginning of the song here, the brand reads Animal Farm, a Fuji on the lamb, running with the lamb in my arms, trail of rabbits harboring the farmer's brands of cigars, and cattle after that like it's a ramp on an arc, planned a garlic salmon already romancing the fingerlings, get it, like the potatoes, let's see, what else, evacuate bleeding heart, I had to let the horses out, who each step forward to bow free to ignore the coral, Frieda made a circle per the management's normal amount. So, yeah, this is just one of those ones where he's, like, spitting out words that sound cool to hear, even if you're just like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
It's when the horse vows, from off the horse mouth, Black Phillip, Frieda, buy what he buys, get it, Black Phillip, from that one movie.
Heh.
That's Robert Eggers, right?
Robert Eggers. Yeah, The Witch.
Yeah, okay. You know, the old Animal Farmers and all that shit. I want to say you read Animal Farm. Like, what was that movie, Animal Farm? No, I know there's a fucking movie on that, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's George Orwell, so I wouldn't be surprised if there was.
You can throw this very lumbering, funky kind of beat, which, all right. And, okay, it looks like that's sort of the usual ASAP Rock, ASAP Rock, it's this is not a reflection of what's this album.
A couple more weeks to go. Now, moving on to the next track here. Looks like we have another new single, courtesy of the band Health. Their upcoming album, Rap Wars, due out December 7th. The new single is called Ashamed, parentheses of Being Alone, I believe. I forgot to write down the full title, just put Ashamed. Now, before we begin, I do need to ask everyone here a question. What was everyone's reaction upon seeing the thumbnail for the music video?
Well,
yes. Yeah, so, for context, if you've only heard the song and haven't seen the video, of note here is that the footage for this music video was filmed at both Anime Expo in Los Angeles and Atlanta's Dragon Con. And the majority of the footage centers on group member John John Famiglietti, or is it Famiglietti? I'm not anywhere near as Italiano as I seem. Yeah, it's him roaming around the con, and he is in cosplay, specifically wearing Oscar Langley Soryu's plug suit from Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Well, it's more of a full body suit than anything else, but yes, the design is there.
And yeah, it's just him going around doing con shit, gathering all kinds of footage, talking with all kinds of people. And honestly, the wee brain in me was just in full force being like, how many cosplays can I spot? How many people in the background? And for the record, the ones that I could distinctly make out were the likes of Himiko Toga from My Hero, Your Forger from Spy Family. I'm pretty sure at one point he was hanging out with someone cosplaying Fischl from Genshin Impact, and even a woman wearing a Pochito onesie. She is someone with taste. And it's kind of funny the way this footage pairs up with the song, because as you can expect, it's one of those very intensely moody industrial kind of jams, specifically emphasizing the sense of melancholic solitude, not just in the beat, but also in the lyrics. Like, the opening line alone says, like, I know I shouldn't have come here, but I got nowhere to go. And I'm like, yeah, that's a convention state of mind, all right.
Yeah. Like, if it's right there, like, you're in an actual,
like, take it from me, a guy who's been to many, many cons. When they show footage of John in an elevator, in cosplay, drinking Bud Light, that is peak con energy, TM. But yeah, honestly, the song does slap, especially the way it works in those acoustic guitars toward the end of it. It's a mood and easily one of the best videos of the year. It's going to take a lot to top this.
Yeah, I'm surprised by him. Like, this was an expo that there was, you know, room. Doesn't make sense. It's going to hit those packs of a fucking sardine or like sardines and shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't go there with too many people, but yeah, this is the kind of vibe I like more. And yeah, full props to John walking around Anime Expo and Dragon Con in a full Asuka plug suit cosplay and killing it, mind you. And with the theme of the song mixing and fitting with the video quite well, we may have a new subgenre here, Avacore. The only thing that's missing was the shot of Asuka in the bath with her wrist slit, but that may have been a bit too on the nose for this video. That was something that happened in the show. But
The subtitle is "A Shame of the Born."
Yeah. Now we just need, like, I don't know. Is there a way we can work that into, like, the titling scheme of the Rebuild movies? I'm just saying. Now, moving with that fun out of the way, now we have to go to the boring here for this next track. So yeah, there's a new Green Day album coming out next year. The fact that this band is still going recording new material perplexes me. Like, I'm asking an honest question here. Like, who really cares anymore? Like, I think the only people who are acknowledging this are just kind of like, as like a formality, we're just kind of like waving awkwardly at a distance, like, hey, you're still here.
Here's my answer to that, Rob. Creed is doing a summer tour.
Don't remind me.
There's an audience for everything. Stuff we may not like it, but they're around us everywhere.
Stuff like this is why I drink. But, yeah, so, the new Green Day album, January 19th, 2024, it's called Saviors, and, like, what do you even want me to say about this? Like, it's just, oh, hey, there's a new Green Day song. Does it sound like every other Green Day song ever made? Why, boy howdy, it certainly does. I mean, like, the only thing of note I can say here is that the music video opens with, like, this brief sketch of, like, a woman in a car. She's about to get attacked by zombies, but the stereo says, Coming up next, the highly anticipated new single from Green Day, like, bitch, who the mother... I just don't understand.
Okay. The positive I have here is that musically, compositionally, this is much more reminiscent of good era Green Day. Minority, American Idiot, The Few Bright Spots of 21st Century Breakdown. The negatives I have are that the lyrics are, not great. And that the large description of this new album makes me think that we're going to be sold a bill of goods again. And after that last album in 2020, I don't know what to expect here. Like, this could be okay. This could be terrible. I don't know. We're just going to have to grin, bear it, and find out.
I swear to God. But anyway, now to move on to the last track here. Now, a while back, we had discussed the first new single from MySpace deathcore pioneers Job for a Cowboy in, like, 10 years. Following, you know, the relatively, like, divisive 2014 album Sun Eater, which I don't even think they toured for that album. And then an extended hiatus, which, according to, you know, interviews with the band, I'm not sure it had a lot to do with, like, the reception from that album, more so just, like, they got caught up in some personal stuff, like, you know, raising families and stuff, and, you know, that's a valid reason to take time off and everything. But it looks like they have not only finally released a new single, two new singles, in fact, we'll get to that one soon enough, but they finally announced their much-anticipated new album, first in a decade. It's coming out February 23rd, 2024, and it's titled Moon Healer. An interesting play off the title of Sun Eater. Now, according to the band, there is something of a loose concept running through the music on here. Apparently, a lot of it's inspired by a close friend of the group who had attempted to gain enlightenment through the abuse of hallucinogenic drugs and just kind of wound up being severely disconnected from anything resembling reality. Yeesh.
As you do.
Yeah. So, we have the newest single from the group, called The Forever Rot. And, I mean, if you know your technical death metal these days, you pretty much know a lot of what you can expect here. You start off with, like, this relatively steady pace that nonetheless brings in a lot of the expected extremities from the melodic guitar interplay and the very jagged chord progressions to the drums belting out a lot of these complicated patterns and blast beats for days. The guitar is eventually segueing into these very noodly kinds of solos, you know, the very, very noodly bass as well. And of course, we can't neglect the shift into these very big sounding triplet rhythms and groove sections. It's a pretty beefy helping as far as, like, technical death metal is concerned, though, again, that's going to depend on how much of a taste you have for technical death metal. Now, as it's tradition around these parts, I kind of dig this style more than most, but again, that's just me.
Okay, I know this kind of super heavy music invokes a certain kind of response from people, but I had a big, wide smile on my face listening to this. This is amazing! This is the kind of quality I want from what's basically progressive death metal. Everything on here is just tight, from the drum patterns to the guitars and the harsh vocals and those bass lines. Ugh. This is all of the stuff I like. And this is good. This is really good. Early contender for next year for me. Like, if this is what we're going to get on the whole album, like, yes, I'm putting my chips down right now. Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Wow. Something I did not expect to have on my bingo card for this year. And surprisingly, that might only be the second biggest twist that happens in the discussions on this week's podcast. We'll get to the other one in a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That about does it for the new song discussion. We're already getting, you know, a brief preview of some things to look forward to next year. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have the news. So stay tuned. And we're back. So the news topics for this week are a case of what do you want first, the good news or the bad news? Well, too bad, you don't get a choice in the matter. We're starting with the bad news first.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I at least want to end on something decent to talk about. But, of course, we have to start here with Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah, you ever been there?
Never forget, hashtag Daniel Ek is a chode. So what's the latest form of bullshit fuckery they're going around doing? We all know that one of the most notorious aspects of Spotify is their extremely low royalty rates and payouts. But apparently, they're reworking their systems for royalties in a way that will screw over even more people than usual, which is impressive in a very insulting sort of way. So apparently, they're restructuring in a way that will, quote, demonetize tracks that previously received 0.5% of Spotify's royalty pool. Now, the way they say it on their end is that this is supposedly a way to combat fraud and to limit payments to, say, ambient noise generators uploading stuff to the service. But you do realize that, like, there's also a lot of independent artists on your platform that, like, it's one of they need to get their music out pretty much any way they can, and sadly Spotify is an unfortunate part of that. And that
And considering one of the few things they got already fucked.
Yeah. So apparently they've been already talking to some of the major labels like Universal Music Group and others to start implementing these changes to the royalty model next year. But again, this is pretty much just something that's only going to benefit artists and labels that are already very established, because those are big artists that already meet whatever this hypothetical minimum number of annual streams is before it starts generating royalties. And there are supposed plans to enact financial penalties against distributors and labels when it detects quote-unquote fraud in uploaded tracks. And I have to quote this one parenthetical here. For context, we're drawing from a Stereogum article written by Tom Bryan. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but he's the guy who does the number ones column on there, which is a pretty interesting read. Quote, the definition of fraud here is a little mysterious, and I have to wonder whether it covers things like samples that haven't been cleared. Or, you know, just... Well, okay, continuing on further. Non-music tracks like White Noise and Ambient will have to meet minimum play time length to generate royalties. And, like, we already know how this is going to go down. We already know how certain artists are going to be screwed over by this, but they do not care.
Yeah, you know, maybe, you know, you know how actors have been on strike lately? Maybe musicians should probably do that. I mean, y'all have a reason to, I mean, this has been a reason to go on strike. Because of this shit, like, you're busy getting paid, not having to get paid. I say getting paid pennies, but it's been like a fraction of pennies, like, here's a sliver.
Yeah, when the royalty is literally, like, less than 1 cent. Fucking A.
Spotify continues to be terrible. Shocker. Like, people just use any other service, any other platform. Hell, I would even advocate for piracy in this case. Because at least somebody's actually paying for a physical release to put up on the internet, which is more money than what you're going to get from fucking Spotify. Like,
Apple Music, you have Tidal, and before you go, and look, I know people back then, they used to do that type of expensive spiel, but you forget most of them are now kind of the same price you pay for, like, $10.99 a month for it now, at least for Apple Music. And Tidal, hell, even Spotify pays that much. Well, I mean, it costs that much. Unless back then you were me, you were waiting to get a 3 month deal. But like I said, I don't do it anymore because fuck Spotify.
Yeah, honestly, like, just stream anywhere else or like if you're gonna like pirate, just like pirate and then see if the artist in question is like on Venmo or something and send them like $5.
Yeah.
That would genuinely be a bigger help.
Bandcamp is still functional right now. It still works. Just do that.
Yeah, like get
for now.
Bandcamp for now, yeah.
I hate when it feels so hopeless like this. But that is why we started with the bad news first. So then we can move on to our other news topic here, which is the number one plot twist to occur in this week's podcast recording. And funny enough, both twists involve Alex in a way.
Yeah. So, last Wednesday, I'm home on my day off. I'm scrolling through everything to see, you know, what we're all supposed to be, you know, angry about on the internet. When I see something that made me do a double take, like, wait, did I read that right? Is this real? They can hack? What's going on? So, I look at it again. I get a little confused. I click the link. I read what's going on, and Mike Portnoy's back in Dream Theater. What the fuck?
Holy shit!
Out of nowhere. Out of fucking nowhere. On a Wednesday morning, this gets announced.
I'm telling you, there is some extremely lucky son of a bitch who had this on their 2023 bingo card, and they're just yucking it up in everyone's face.
Okay, I have to give a little bit of story time here. So, it was back in September of 2010, I just started my junior year of high school, and I hear from a friend of mine, something happened. So I go to, you know, blabbermouth.net, which back then was somewhat reputable and not, you know, a rag site. And then I read what happened, and it said that Mike Portnoy left Dream Theater. I had been a fan of the band for about 2 years at that point, and that hurts. That hurts to read. Then, of course, we had the news of, you know, Mike Mangini coming into the band as the new drummer, and for those of you who remember, it was ugly for a while. Like, it was ugly. Like, it was not good. It was not healthy. It was honestly kind of just bad. Just trying to see, you know, division in the fandom, so to speak. And then this happened. 13 years later, Mike Portnoy is back in Dream Theater. And they're going to be working on a new album together. Presumably due out next year, and this twisted my mind so bad. On a Wednesday morning, guys, give us some advance warning first. Come on.
I gotta tell you, I remember around the time the news first dropped, because there was a particularly, like, aside from, like, you know, the fandom division, I remember that it was like a three-part documentary thing they did where they like really built up to the announcement of Mike Mangini's role in the band with like, oh, we're going to make this three-part documentary auditioning like seven different drummers through a myriad of tests. Like, I remember that very vividly. And I had only like, I had only like barely known about Dream Theater back then. Like, I think my only familiarity still at that point was like, Panic Attack and the Dance of Eternity.
Yeah. For me, it's a little bit more tied to the heart because, you know, Dream Theater and Metallica are my two favorite bands. Yes, I'm a basic bitch. I know. I don't care. But this coming out just out of nowhere. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I guess it's true what they say. Time heals all wounds.
Yeah, I was wondering what the possibility was since, God, what was it? It was that Liquid Tension Experiment album, I think.
Yeah, that was in 2021, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, interesting.
Yeah, like, the word has always been, no, we're better off doing our own things, but again, time heals all wounds. Back in the fold, and Mike Mangini, to his credit, he's been very understanding, very professional about all of this. Every band member, wrote a statement on their website about, this seismic change, this dramatic turn of events, if I may turn a phrase.
Hey!
Yeah, it's just... Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Like, this is one of the biggest news stories of the year. Like, it made the top five on the Billboard website for, a day or two. Like, that doesn't happen with this genre of music. It never happens. Except here, where it did happen.
Yeah, I'm really wondering, I'm not sure how long... It's probably going to take, a decent amount of time, because, Dream Theater, they do, take their time with albums and songs and such. But I really wonder what, how they'll sound now that Mike's back after, the 13-year stint with Mike, and considering where they left off with Portnoy on Black Clouds and Silver Linings, which, for the record, is still an A-plus album and has one of my, top 10 favorite Dream Theater songs, A Nightmare to Remember.
Yes, that is very good, and I don't know what to expect at this point. At this point, this is going to be their 16th album. They don't need to do any more. They will anyway, because they're crazy like that. It's going to be a thing, and just... If I'm stumbling over my words, it's because I'm very excited and very, very happy about this. This is big. This kind of thing never happens. It's like, it happened once with Dave Lombardo coming back to Slayer for a while, but then, all that stuff happened, and, this never happens! This never, ever happens! It's very rare!
Yeah, this is... I imagine for the Dream Theater fandom, this has to be, the same feeling as when, the Death Clock fandom found out that the finale was actually finally fucking happening.
What a fucking year it's been.
Dreams do come true. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing to keep an eye out for the next year or two. Let's see what happens. Now, with that good news out of the way, we're going to move on to the last little thing we have to touch on here before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of November 3rd, 2023, as we sadly must now transition out of spooky season. I'm gonna miss it. Starting right here at the top, we have the newest EP from the band Spirit Box with The Fear of Fear. Then we have a new album from death metal band Suffocation with Hymns from the Apocrypha. We have a posthumous release from the recently deceased Jimmy Buffett with Equal Strain on All Parts. From former Brockhampton leader Kevin Abstract, we have his alt-rock album, Blanket. Now, here's an interesting one. Marnie Stern specializes in the math rock genre. First time I ever heard about her was in 2013 on that year's Adult Swim Singles program, which, funnily enough, was the last time she released an album, because that was also the same year she began a 10-year stint as a part of the 8G band. That being the in-house band for Late Night with Seth Meyers. But now that she's out of that gig, this Friday she'll have her first new album in a decade, The Comeback Kid. Very fitting title. From Marshmallow, we have a project... Oh god, I fucking hate saying this title. Sugar Poppy.
Ew.
Okay.
And now for an album that sounds like I'm making up its existence, but I swear to God it's real. It's a holiday album called We Wish You the Merriest, a collaboration between Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane and singer and actress Liz Gillies, who you may remember as the hot goth chick Jade from the Nickelodeon sitcom Victorious. This is the second time those two have released a Christmas project together.
Oh yeah, that's right. Before that she sings and Seth MacFarlane for some reason.
Yeah. The things you find out while watching 8-hour YouTube video essays. But seriously, the fact that they've released two projects together, can someone bring in that Dr. Doofenshmirtz quote about the nickels? And last on the list, from Jungkook, I probably butchered that pronunciation horribly, formerly of BTS, he's got a new solo project out called Golden. It is now time to clean house and get the hell out of here, so Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As sometimes, always, or of Azure, I just pop in every once in a while because the internet is a cesspool. You're up way too late on the internet sharing things you shouldn't be. Put your phone down and go to bed.
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
As usual, at Mental Media, at wherever you can find me, in the course of my site, my hype1.com. Recently, since, well, Halloween has passed, I did something for, I reviewed something for Halloween, hopefully a sort of horror title, or maybe horror action horror stuff. I reviewed, Course Princess. Remember that show?
Which, vaguely? I'm not sure I ever watched it, but I think I heard about it somewhere.
It seemed like that show would have been on one of those, like, maybe IFC when they used to air anime, or maybe when Chile used to be a thing. It feels like it would have been on that, or it feels like if it survived long enough, it would have been on that.
Yeah, that title sounds so familiar, though. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on various social media platforms. Just search Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @sewerreso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website sewerresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast M&A, all of that fun business. And of course, be sure to jump into our Discord server, as that's the best place to be immediately notified whenever new stuff goes up on the site. So, yeah, that'll about do it for this week. Thank you for joining us. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. And until then, I don't know, something, clocks going forward, daylight.